just build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. If you hadn't figured it out, now people are fickle. They like a pickle. They fickle. But God, He's not like that. Hallelujah. Genesis 3:16, glad you're here tonight. We're going to read you one verse of Scripture. Hope to bless you with a thought tonight. You walk out of here thinking better than you did when you came in here. Appreciate our visitors being with us that was here Sunday morning. Feel like the Lord brought you here for a reason, and we want to help you find that reason. Thanks for that family being here with us tonight. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I want to talk tonight from this subject, overruled. 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 Hallelujah. Lord, I'm thankful for your spirit tonight. I'm thankful for what I feel. Hallelujah. I got to feel something to know you're around, God. Hallelujah. I want to feel your presence at all times. Wherever you go, I want to go with you. Hallelujah. I don't want to go any place without you. So wherever you go, let me in on where you're going next, and I'll go with you. Direct us tonight as we teach your word to these people tonight, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. To rule over something is basically to have the authority or the power over something so that you can override someone else's desires or wishes. It's to rule over them. If you've ever been in a courtroom before, well, there is something called a judge. And he sits behind the desk there, and there's usually, let's say, a plaintiff and a defendant, and they each have their own attorney, and they're at odds with each other, or they wouldn't be there. And the judge sits in the middle, and he's going to listen to the case, and many times there's a jury, but the judge orchestrates the affairs that goes on in the court and keeps it orderly. And so he is to make that final judgment call. And so many times one attorney will say, you know, one witness may get up and begin to say, well, I saw him. And the other attorney will raise up real quick and say, judge, I object. Now that judge got two things he can say. Grant it or overrule. And if he says grant it, then go ahead and say what you got to say. But if he says overruled, honey, you don't say, hey, but I got something I want to say. If you don't mind, I want to have my say. You're out the courtroom for it. They'll just take you right out. He says over. Over. Not just the rule. Overruled. Meaning I have the authority, no matter what you think or what the rules even say, to overrule the rules. Last time I checked, the potter had the power over the clay. So that the clay can't say, why did you make me thus? He says, overruled. Overruled. I know you wanted to be a rocket scientist, but I made you a ditch digger. Overruled. This is where I want you. You'll be saved doing this. You won't be saved doing that. He overrules many times what we think we ought to be. And we object so many times to what God wants us to do. And he says, overruled. And so many times we get thrown out of the courtroom, if you will, by keep objecting and objecting and objecting when we realize there is a higher power than you. Amen. Isaiah said, the Lord was my judge, he's my lawgiver and my king, and he will save us. If he overrules you, it's because he wants to save you. He makes the law, he's the judge of the law, and he's the king over the law. That's the whole ruling power. And so many times in life, I do thank God that he overruled me. There's many things I prayed. I thought it ought to be one way, and it didn't happen that way at all. And later I look back and say, thank God you didn't listen to me. Thank God when I prayed, Lord, let it be this way, you didn't let it be that way. And I didn't understand it at the time, but now I become respectful to you overruling my desires. Paul had this thorn in the flesh that we know about. He sought the Lord. He never disclosed really what it was, but he said, I sought the Lord 3 times on this thing, and the judge said, overruled. Overruled. My grace is sufficient. Overruled. So he said, then when I realized this was overruled, I decided to be glad about it. I decided now to rejoice in my infirmities, realizing that if I didn't let him overrule me, I might boast out of measure and I might be lost. So the judge knows. Hear me tonight, somebody. You may not be getting your way, but I'm telling you, if you're in the hands of God and not all state and in your hand, let me tell you, the best hands to be in is in God's hands. Not in your own hands, in God's hands. He knows how to overrule your desires if it's against his will. And you need to pray, God, overrule my desires that your will might be done in my life. Overruling powers came about very early in creation. We read in Genesis 1:16, and God made 2 great lights, the greater light to do what? To rule. See, there's a lesson here. He made 2 great lights, the greater light, which is the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, which would be the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also, even lesser lights. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the 4th day. Light has the authority to overrule. See, this is what it's teaching us. I don't care how dark it is in here, and you light a candle, you're going to see it. He said, men ought not light a candle and put a basket over it. God gives us his spirit. He expects us to light up the world. But instead, sometimes we cover it up and reluctant to witness and say what God has done in our lives. He said, any man that lights a candle puts it on a candlestick. Why? Because light overrules darkness. So this overruling power started way back in Genesis with light. And what is God? He is light. John said the light came into the world and darkness did not comprehend it. My, my, my. And so he gave us this light to rule the day. Do you know that same light we call the moon, but it is a reflection of the greater light, so that it's still even ruling in the night. Amen. So God gave us lights, and he is the light that overrules all darkness. I don't care how dark your life may be, how dark it may seem. I don't care if it's drug addiction, if it's alcoholism. I don't care how dark it may be. I'm telling you, you get God in your life, and that light will overrule all the darkness that's in your life. It has the power to overrule, and it'll tell the darkness, overruled. Paul said it this way. He enlightens us. That means it comes from the inside. From the very beginning, God gave man this dominating power. He created all these things, the fishes and the fowls of the air and the animals, and he said, have dominion over them and subdue them. There was a dominant rule over power that man had. However, when man fell in the garden, there was a power shift in the garden to where all of a sudden now part of Eve's punishment would be, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee, meaning he shall be a stronger power than you. I don't watch boxing or anything like that, but I don't think you want men and women to box against each other. I don't know that would be a good idea. They may box their women and women, men and men. But last time I checked, most men have a dominant power. Now, anytime power is given to someone, they must not exercise it wrongly. Anytime power is given to anybody, they are accountable for that power, unless they abuse that power. And so where much is given, my Bible says much is required. And so I want to talk a little bit more detail at the beginning of the year, a little bit later on, about ruling and ordinances and things like that. But for tonight, I want to talk about know the rules before you play the game. Nobody says, let's play football and say, how many yards is it to a touchdown? How wide is the field? How long is the field? What's that hash mark there? You know, no, you got to know the rules before you play the game. But once you know the rules, then you can effectively play the game. But there comes a time, there's a referee, you can argue with him all you want to. He says overruled. And it's overruled. And so sometimes when God overrules us and we think we're playing the game of being a Christian and we're doing things right and it's not going our way and we think somebody interfered with us and somebody did this and somebody, and he says overruled. Even though you may be right, I didn't see it that way. Overruled. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. The Word of God, and Dennis hit right on target what I want to talk about. The Word of God overrules, listen close, your faith. Oh, yeah. The Word of God overrules your prayers. The Word of God overrules your thinking and beliefs. I don't care what you think. If God said, that's going to rule. It'll supersede what you believe. It'll supersede what mama taught you. God supersedes, His Word supersedes everything. We use faith when we don't know what to do. If you knew what to do, He said, if you knew you had what you hoped for, why do you hope for it? We use faith when we don't know what to do. I have faith this is what God wants me to do. I believe this is what He wants. But I'm here to tell you, if He said do it, you don't need faith. If He said do it, if He said something's going to be, if He said a virgin's going to conceive, it doesn't take faith to get a virgin to conceive because God said it. And His Word will never return void. So you don't need faith if God said it. It just requires, you ready for the rest of it? Obedience. There's where we get caught. If He said it, it requires no faith. It requires obedience to the Word. Because if you obey the Word, it will happen just like He said. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. No matter how much you sacrifice, it's more important to be obedient unto God. And then sometimes you get kind of caught. I've always said this. No matter what I say or anyone else says, be sure if you've heard from God, God told you. Because I don't want to be accountable. You have to obey what God told you. And I give you the classic case. A prophet named Agabus that was dwelling at another place in Judea. He was knew Paul, and Paul was headed to Jerusalem to suffer many things. And he comes down from some mountainous area where he was at. And he comes down and he says to Paul, hey, let me have your girdle. You know, he takes this loins that he has and he ties both of his hands and his feet. And he says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. That's pretty powerful. Prophet. Pretty powerful. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, the man who owns this girdle, so shall be done unto him in Jerusalem. And the rest of the scripture says, and all that them were with him said, Paul, please don't go to Jerusalem, for you're going to be bound at Jerusalem. But he said, that's good. I appreciate all your concern. Appreciate the Holy Ghost talk to you. And but the Holy Ghost talked to me too. And I'm going to go what the Holy Ghost told me. And I'm going to tell you what I told the Holy Ghost back when he told me. I said, I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. So don't drag me on and make me feel bad. Say, why are you weeping for me? I'm just following what the Lord told me. Excuse me, I appreciate your concern, but I got to go with what God told me because I got to be responsible to what he told me. Well, where does that put Brother Agabus and the rest of them? I'll tell you where it put them. When they saw that Paul would not listen, they said, the will of the Lord be done. And so when people, there's disagreements, and sometimes spiritually people disagree, one of y'all need to say, well, the will of the Lord be done. Because somebody has got to carry out what God said in their life and in your life. So things sometimes may not seem as certain as we would want them to be, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll follow the voice of the Lord and use obedience, it will always work out. When you follow the word of God, you do not need faith. I want you to understand that. What you need is obedience and courage and strength. There is nothing God has ever asked anybody to do that didn't take courage. You go back and look. Everything he asked anybody to do, step out on that water there, Peter. Come on. Get in. You're going to fight him as one man. Come on. David, go out there and hit him. You're going to take him down with one rock. Everything he asked them to do took strength and courage. So it's not a prayer of, Lord, increase my faith in these situations. Because what he's saying in those cases where they prayed, Lord, increase my faith, have faith in God means have faith in what he said. And so when we see so many times in looking at the passing on, even when David was fixing to die, he looked at his son in the eyes. He said, son, be strong and of a good courage. When Moses looked, he was 120 years old, and he looked at Joshua and he said, I can't go over. The Lord told me, I'm not going over Jordan, but you're going to take them over and tell them, be strong and be of a good courage, for I have given them the land. It don't take faith. You hear me? It doesn't take faith. I've already given it to you. Be strong and be of a good courage. Do you know why people backslide? They run out of courage. That's why. They run out of courage. They're like the lion that was on the, what was that? The Wizard of Oz. What did he need? Courage. And some people, they need courage. And I've tried, sometimes I try to encourage people, and I encourage people, and I realize this. It's like pouring water into a bucket with a hole in the bottom. You can't fill it up fast enough. It's already out. And until you fix the hole in the bottom of the bucket, you'll never have courage. Let me tell you, living for God takes courageous people. It's not wimpy people can't live for God. He said, in this life, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Take courage. He told Paul on that ship that was about to sink. He said, be of good courage. The Holy Ghost is what rules in our lives. You that received his spirit. It is a quickening spirit. Can you say amen? It is a quickening spirit. The Bible tells us that the spirit of a man is a candle unto the Lord. It's what he lights up in your life. He quickens your spirit. He lights up your life. And we need to be careful that we don't walk by faith and be led by the flesh. Because it's easy when you're walking by faith to be led by the flesh. Easy. But we need to be led by the Spirit. And that's what the Spirit of God does. It is a quickening spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews, for the word of God is what? Quick. It's not only like fast, but it's sharp. It's sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I've used scalpels before when I was working in dentistry, and they'd cut both ways. We had some, you had to, it just cut one way. But there was some sharp on both sides, cut both ways. And so it's telling us the word of God can do good, it can do harm. It cuts both ways. It's like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the sunder. Let me tell you how sharp it is, soul and spirit. Who can divide their soul from their spirit? And the joints from the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows not only what you're thinking, but if you intend on doing what you're thinking, or you're not intending on doing what you're thinking. He knows that. It's sharp. And it is the word of God that cuts both ways. It brings life and it brings death. I set before you an open door. I close the door. No man can open it. If I open it, no man can shut it. It was the Holy Ghost that brought life to Ananias and Sapphira. It was the Holy Ghost that took their life too. That's right. We are begotten by the word. It says we're also offended by the word. Moses fled from a snake, right? Cast that rod down. It turned into a snake. And he fled from it. And the Lord said, go pick up what you fled from. Moses fled from Pharaoh, right? Into the wilderness on the backside of the desert. And the Lord said, go back to what you fled from. Sometimes the Holy Ghost tells you to undo what you just did. You always have to take courage. Moses said, Lord, I can't speak to these people. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the courage. He had to encourage him. What do you have in your hand? Well, I got a rod. Throw it down. Boom, snake. Pick it up. Rod. He said, take that with you. Take that with you. You're going to need that. That'll give you the courage. And sometimes God has